Her eyes bounce back and forth between me and Joop. Is that bad? Oh, ignore him, Joop says, waving me off. Is she serious right now? Actually, don't. I extend a hand to the dad first. It's nice to meet you, Dr. Chen. I'm Courtney. Oh, call me Kenny, he says, like Mama would let that fly. And Ray, it's nice to meet you, I say. Joop's told me almost nothing about you, but I know y'all text a lot. Coop! Joop elbows me in the ribs. Ray laughs. She really is pretty.
Nice to meet you, too. Well, formally, at least.
As my big-ass hand basically eats her little dainty one, I take her in. Just like Joop, she's hard to pin down. Dr. Chen is East Asian, and you can see that a little bit in the shape of Ray's eyes, but said eyes are green, and she's got a lot of freckles. Nice lips, too. The hair Joop loves, rolling my eyes, is cut super short, and there's a spot over her left ear where it's a reddish color, but the rest is dark brown. She's probably got Joop by an inch or so height-wise, but completely opposite body type. Slim, kind of willowy. And I recognize her now. I've seen you at school, I say. On one of the days I was avoiding Joop, I saw her talking to a short-haired girl in the hallway and didn't think anything of it because Joop is always talking to someone. Now I feel like a dumbass.
Oh, wonderful! Our guests have arrived,
Mama says as she approaches from behind us.
Come in! Come in!
Ray and her dad step into the house.
Right this way,
Mama says. The guys are in the living room. Dr. Chen and Ray follow Mama, but I catch Joop's wrist to hold her back. She turns to me, still beaming.
You knew she was coming?
I say. She nods, eyes sparkling like the 4th of damn July.
We figured it out yesterday, she says. She was saying she and her dad got invited to dinner at a co-worker's house, and when I asked where her dad worked and she named your mom's hospital, we put two and two together.
And you didn't tell me? That this girl, who obviously makes you so happy, was coming to my house for dinner?
What was there to tell?
And she pulls out of my grip and bounds after Ray with more spring in her step than I've ever seen. I get to the living room just as Mama finishes the introductions. It's dead obvious from the shock trapped in Dr. Chin's raised eyebrows after meeting Troy and Emilio that he got no forewarning about the non-traditional family next door. Which is fine, of course. I can just tell he doesn't know what to do with the information. We live in a pretty progressive area, as Mama likes to put it, and barring one incident in 9th grade involving some bigots picketing at one of my basketball games in deep South Georgia, the two-dad life has never really been a big deal. I'm so used to it not being a big deal, in fact, that Dr. Chin's shock catches me off guard. And now, I'm really curious about Ray. It's crystal clear to me that Joop was flirting with her, so Ray either didn't realize or didn't mind. Definitely seemed like there was something mutual going on, but it's not like Ray has I Like Girls tattooed on her forehead, so it's difficult to know for sure. What if Ray is batting for the same team as Joop, and Dr. Chen doesn't know it? If his daughter was gay and he knew, he probably wouldn't have been so shocked by the dad-slash-poppy revelation, right? But then again, he looked so happy about whatever was happening between the two girls. As a matter of fact, all 5 of us can see them sitting at the dining room table, giggling and touching each other's hair and examining each other's nails and complimenting each other's best features. I just heard Joop say, "Dude, your eyes are amazing. They're like the inside of a just ripe avocado." Ray's reply, "Oh my gosh, yours are like tree sap backlit by sunlight." Again, Dr. Chen looks thrilled. Is this a normal thing for girls to do? Joop says Brianna isn't her type. Is Ray? Which leads to other questions. How much have they been talking? Do they see each other outside of school? Did they hang out at all during my game plan hiatus? During dinner, I keep my mouth shut and my eyes on my plate to keep from staring at them. What the hell you plan to do if she gets a girlfriend, Coop?
But then Mama has one mojito too many, Poppy made a freaking pitcher, and starts blabbing. So, Ray, you should know you're a lucky girl. Courtney and Jupiter are Decatur High royalty.
Mama, put the glass down, please.
What? I'm just making sure she knows she doesn't have to worry about making friends.
Jupe snorts.
You can say that again.
Oh, you shh. Ray replies with a blush.
I'm missing something here. What am I missing? This is driving me bonkers.
Courtney, I hear you're quite the basketball player,
Dr. Chin says. My cheeks burn. Not that anybody can tell.
I'm not too bad.
Don't let Mr. Humble Bumble fool you, Doctor, Poppy says with a wave of his fork. I smile in spite of myself. I used to watch I Love Lucy with my dad, and when I met Poppy at age 7, I thought, wow, a blue-eyed Ricky Ricardo. Learning Poppy was born in Santiago de Cuba, just like Desi Arnaz? Definitely one of the highlights of my childhood.
Cuatro has been the leading scorer on the team every year since the fourth grade, isn't that right?
And he winks at me. Poppy's called me Cuatro for as long as I can remember. Said it was because he'd never met a fourth before. Mama jumps back in.
And Jupiter is class president and the head of a number of civic groups. Right, honey?
Jupe smiles at her but looks at me and crosses her eyes really quick. It's this little thing we do when one of the parents is getting too parentish. So she hasn't forgotten me in the face of a pretty girl. Good to know.
Mm-hmm,
Jupe says, before shifting her attention to Dr. Chin.
I'm in charge of a couple of volunteer organizations, and I run IRIDIS, our school's GSA.
GSA? He asks.
Gay Straight Alliance,
Jupe says.
Oh, so you're also...
gay? Yes, sir, I am.
Dr. Chin's face goes crimson, and he smiles and looks down at his plate. I can't decipher Ray's reaction because she literally doesn't have one. No pause of her fork or rapid blinking or twitch of a finger or small smile. It's maddening.
So what about you, Ray?
Mama is practically singing now. Dear Lord, don't let her be asking Ray if she's gay.
Did you participate in any extracurriculars at your old school?
Thank God. Ray was in the 800 Club, Dr. Chin says, grinning. She was the only freshman to get a perfect score on the PSAT verbal.
Oh my gosh, Daddy, that's not an extracurricular.
Sorry. Proud dad moment, he says. She also constructs incredible crossword puzzles. Now Ray groans.
I think that's amazing.
From Jupe, batting her eyelashes, the asshole.
I knew your vocabulary was pretty impressive just from talking to you, but seriously.
Ray blushes even deeper, and Dr. Chin laughs. At 3 years old, the only item on Ray's Christmas list was a dictionary.
Daddy.
Mama, Poppy, and Dad all chuckle. Ray puts her face in her hands.
Hey now, nothing wrong with beauty and brains,
Jupe says. She nudges Ray, who just beams at her. This is torture.
So, were you involved in anything else at your old school?
Mama asks. Ray nods.
I was a cheerleader.
Opportunity! Oh yeah?
I say. Which position?
Flyer.
She looks at me and grins. Finally.
Do you not see her, Coop?
Jupe interjects.
You really had to ask?
She nudges Ray again, and they explode into a fit of giggles.
I didn't want to make any assumptions.
And how about you stay the hell out of it, Jupiter? I say in my head. Full disclosure, I'm not used to girls not paying me any attention, and it's bothering me a lot that Ray's into Jupe instead of me. Courtney Cooper, thou hast been brought low, brah.
You know, Coop's a cheerleader, too,
Jupe says.
Mm-hmm. I saw him on the sidelines at the game yesterday.
From Ray. Am I not sitting right here? Jupe's face lights up like it's Christmas.
Coop, you should see if you can get Ray on the squad,
she says.
It would be perfect.
Oh, now she's okay with cheerleading. I take a sip of water to help me swallow down. Well, we wouldn't want to subject her to the male gaze now, would we? Especially since Ray is staring at Joop like her idea could bring world peace?
Am I being petty?
Yeah, I don't care. I force a smile.
I'll see what I can do.
I don't say a word for the rest of dinner.
Not that anyone notices. And once we're done, everyone pairs off. Dad Charity and Dr. Chin go to the den to continue their conversation about Dr. Chin's humanitarian medical work in Tanzania. Mama and Poppy head to the back porch with the rest of the mojito pitcher, and Joop and Ray disappear altogether. As in, I collect the dishes from the table and take them to the kitchen to load the dishwasher, and when I return, Joop and Ray are nowhere to be found. I go out back.
It's been 11 fucking years, Emilio,
Mama says. It stops me in my tracks because I never hear her use profanity. She must be drunker than I thought.
11 years, and I still miss Al like he died yesterday.
God, what did I step into?
Nobody on this earth could ever love me like that man loved me. And poor Courtney.
She shakes her head. Well, this is uncomfortable. As I'm going back into the house, the deck creaks. They both turn, and Mama's eyes go wide. Quattro, Poppy says, trying to break the ice.
Shit, he looks just like Al.
Mama whips away from me and lifts her cup.
I grab it before she can get it to her lips.
No more mojitos for you, Nita Cooper. Out here cussing. She waves me off and shifts her focus across the yard. You're such a good boy, Quattro, Poppy says.
Jupiter's lucky to have you, you know? Your dad would be so proud.
I gotta get out of here. Hey, speaking of Jupiter, any idea where her and Ray went?
She and Ray, Mama says. And they're up in my room going through old photo albums.
Aw, hell no.
I drop off Mama's glass at the sink and rush up the stairs. Mama's door is barely cracked. I'm about to push it open, but then I have a thought. What if the girls are kissing or something?
What if they're doing more?
No way, though, right? It's my mama's room. Joop wouldn't do that.
Would she?
I can't help but imagine, though. I wonder if Ray has freckles everywhere else.
It'd be like a salted caramel and vanilla swirl with sprinkles.
Check out those ears.
Ray squeals.
Coop, we know you're at the door, Joop says. Stop being a creeper and come in.
My palms go damp, and I can feel the heat in my face and sweat at my hairline.
It's cool. I know you're having girl time.
There's no way I can look either of them in the eye right now, especially Joop. She'd see inside my head to what I was thinking and never speak to me again.
The parents wanted me to make sure you two were all right up here. I lie.
Okay, we're fine,
Joop says. I jet downstairs and put my headphones on, crank my music up loud, and try to keep myself busy. I straighten the dining room, clean the entire kitchen, rearrange the pantry, which doesn't take long, seeing as there's never any food in this house. Dinner was ordered in. And when the dishwasher shuts off, I unload it. I've just finished putting the glasses away when someone smacks me on the butt. I whip around and pull the headphones down to find Joop grinning at me. And now my heart is pounding.
Thanks for doing the dirty work, Mr. Clean, she says. Come on, the Chins are leaving.
She takes my hand and pulls me just outside the front door where we all say our goodbyes. I stand there, taking up air and space I don't feel entitled to, while the parents smile and hug, and Joop and Ray stand locked in what appears to be a lover's embrace for e-frickin'-ternity. When they finally break apart, Joop tells Ray she'll be over tomorrow, and Ray tosses an indifferent half-wave in my general direction before heading to her dad's car.
Seriously feel like I just shot a game-losing air ball at the buzzer.
But then Joop looks up at me and smiles the way she does. Want to go watch a movie?
I wonder if she can see my shock. Sure.
Awesome, she says. I'm going to change and make popcorn. See you in 5?
5 it is. She reaches up to tug on my ear, and I exhale. For the first time in my life, I'm thankful for that bracelet she wears. I know she and Ray didn't do anything. All 5 of the charms are still there.
5. If you start walking around Decatur High, talking and laughing with Jupiter Sanchez like your new bestie, everyone notices. Everywhere I go in these hallways, I hear people talking about Ray Chin. How nice she is, how interesting, how pretty, how cool, how chic. I've heard she spent time in Tanzania.
True.
I've heard she surfed in the Maldives.
Maybe true.
I've heard she's biracial, but descended from rulers of the Ming Dynasty.
Possible, I guess.
I've heard she created maps for some uncharted portion of the Amazon rainforest.
Doubtful, but who knows?
You'd think Ray Chin was some infectious disease based on the epidemic curiosity about her.
Is this weird for me?
Yes. Especially considering people come to me with their questions, assuming that if Ray's tight with Jupe, I'm the third musketeer.
But the thing is, Ray hasn't really spoken more than a few words to me since the dinner.
She's not deliberately rude or anything. She gives a generic, morning, as she hops into the back seat when we pick her up for school, and she'll throw a closed-lipped smile and half-wave in my direction if I pass her in the halls. But beyond that, the longest sentence she said to me is,
hey, can you tell me how to get to B-Wing?
It'd be one thing if she were weird-slash-standoffish with everyone but Jupe. Then I could chalk it up to Jupe's awkwardness-repelling sorcery. Or, fine, to something romantic going on between them. But I refuse to think about that because, one, I get pissed at the thought of some admittedly cute girl swooping in and stealing the affections of the woman I've wanted since I was 7. And, two, it devolves into depraved imaginings involving Jupe's brown skin and Ray's freckles pretty quickly. So it would obviously, definitely have to be the sorcery, case closed. Bottom line, if she were Jupe only, I could still feel okay about myself. But that's not the case at all. I'm literally the only person Ray's not smiley, happy, friendly with. Since we've already established that I like winning, I've gotten into this idiotic thing where I try to get Ray's attention and make her smile just for the sake of knowing I can. True to my word, I get her a tryout for the cheer squad. After our warm-up laps, we all gather on the blue mats and find Ray standing next to Coach Q in standard cheer practice garb, sports bra, tank top, and cotton shorts that reveal just how long and toned her legs are. When everyone sees her, the thrill of collective excitement is so electric, I almost expect each person's hair to stand on end. As I mentioned before, she's all anybody's been talking about.
Guys, this is Ray Chin, though I assume you already knew that based on the way you're all looking at her,
Coach says. A few people laugh. Ray turns that pinkish color beneath the freckles and giggles.
Hi, guys,
she says with a little wave, and I can't help but smile. She really is crazy cute, even if she confuses the hell out of me. Or maybe because she confuses the hell out of me? Who knows how these things work?
Cece, Coach nods in my direction. I hate when she calls me that. Asked me to let her try out, but since we're already 2 games into the season and stunt partners are more or less set, I figured it'd only be fair if I ran it by the whole team since it'll involve some flyer rotations. Anyone object?
Like anyone would.
All right,
Coach says.
Everyone clear the mats. Ray, if you wouldn't mind throwing the toughest tumbling pass you can land without a spot, please. And no need for multiple handsprings.
Ray nods and goes to one end of one of the 42-foot strips of carpet-bonded foam. Apparently no one's actually breathing because it's so quiet in the gym you could hear a cockroach fart. After a couple of seconds with her face scrunched in determination, she takes a deep breath, rises up on her toes, and then launches herself forward into the pass. 2 steps, round off, back handspring, double full twist.
as in she rotates her body 720 degrees while doing a straight-bodied backflip. Eyes bulge out of head.
Holy shit, says Shauna Wilmington, team captain, before clapping her hands over her mouth and throwing Coach a terrified look.
Coach is too busy trying to pick her jaw up off the ground to make Shauna sprint a lap and do 100 squat jumps. Standard fare for cussing.
That was,
Coach Q, like the rest of us, is at a loss for words.
Wow. All right, then. You've flown single base before?
Ray, who hasn't finished blushing from all the wonder in our eyes, nods.
My old squad was co-ed. How tall are you? 5'7"?
Coach's brow creases for a sec before a smile tugs at one corner of her very thin lips. They're nothing like Ray's full ones. Not that I'm looking at Ray's full lips when she talks or anything.
Come here, Jess,
Coach says. Just as she won't call me Coop, she refuses to call Jessie Golly. I don't know what it is with Coach Q and the girly-ass nicknames, but regardless of what she called him, I've never seen my dear friend Jessie Goliath Cox move so quickly.
You afraid of heights, Miss Chin?
Coach asks, wrapping an arm around Golly's waist.
Not in the least, ma'am. Jess here.
Call me Golly, Golly says, extending a hand to Ray, who blushes again and smiles up at him as his mitt swallows her hand.
Golly,
Coach continues,
is what, 6'7"?
And a half. Golly grins.
That means, at full extension, your head will be... Somebody do the math for me?
Britain.
About 15 feet above the ground.
If only he were as good with women as he is with numbers.
You okay with that, Miss Chin?
Ray's green eyes sparkle.
Totally. We'll start with the toss to half press.
Coach steps away from Golly and gestures for Ray to take her place in front of him.
Whenever you're ready,
Coach says. Golly whispers something to Ray that none of us can hear, but it makes her smile. Then he counts off, squats low, tosses her straight up into the air, and catches her in a full extension instead of a half press, like Coach said. They're solid as stone.
Damn,
Britton says.
Drop and give me 100 mountain climbers, Brit?
From Coach. Britton sucks his teeth and glares at Shauna, who sticks her tongue out at him. Golly pops Ray off his hands, catching her waist as she comes down.
What else you got?
This from Shauna, who I think is feeling threatened. She's Golly's regular flyer, after all. Ray looks at Coach Q for the approval to do another stunt, and when Coach nods, Ray turns to Golly and beckons him down to her level. His eyes get big, but he recovers quickly, which is good. I'm sure Coach would try to stop whatever's coming if she'd seen it. When Ray finishes telling him what she wants to do, he swings his arms around, shakes his hands and legs out, and rolls his neck. Highly doubt I need to mention that the rest of us are riveted. They get in pre-toss position, and this time Ray grins. Golly counts off, tosses, and bam! One arm liberty! Golly's holding Ray up above his head with one arm, and she's standing on one foot. This is technically illegal at the high school level in our state. We've all got our chins on the floor, and then she stretches into a scorpion. She's flexible. Golly pops her off, and before her feet touch the ground, Coach Q is asking her when she can come by the office and pick up a uniform. By the time practice comes to a close, she's totally become a part of the team. Everybody's congratulating her and giving her high fives and telling her how awesome she is. So I'm thinking, I've done it. She'll get to me and thank me and smile real big like she does for everybody else. That's logical, right?
She doesn't even glance my way. Just a curt, thanks, Courtney.
In passing. Forgive me for sounding arrogant, but this is so far outside my realm of experience, I can't even figure out how to feel. Like, it's one thing to piss a girlfriend off, get dumped, and then be avoided.
But to have a girl who doesn't know me refuse to even look at me? And only me? It's like everyone else is basking in this ray of light that moves every time I try to step into it. I'm too baffled to even be offended. She and Jupe have been spending a good bit of time together, so I'm sure I could ask Jupe if she knows what Ray's deal is. Something interesting. I came home after hanging with the guys one night to find Jupe and Ray in their PJs at my house with my mom.
We're having a slumber party, Courtney.
Mama giggled as she looked up from polishing Jupe's toenails. Ray didn't even glance in my direction. But the handful of times Jupe and I have been alone, I've resisted the temptation to bring Ray up at all. Three reasons. One, our whole life, Poppy has stressed the importance of minding your own business. If people want you to know, they will tell you, Cuatro. Two, it seems a little pathetic to ask, doesn't it?
Jupe, why doesn't Ray like me?
Why? So whack. Three, I know if I ask her that, I'll wind up asking her that other question. So, you and Ray? She's still got all the gemstones on her bracelet. Yes, I check regularly at this point. Can't help it. But I'm not ready to go there because I have no idea how I'll react if she says they're more than friends. Like, right now, I'm sitting in the Lazy Boy with an I Love Lucy episode playing on the TV, but my eyes keep drifting to the glory that is Jupiter Sanchez lying belly down on her bed in leggings and one of my old jerseys. As I mentioned, the niceness down bottom is an amazing proportion to the niceness up top, and right now that bottom is just sitting there like a majestic mountain I'd like very much to climb. I have the blanket over my lap. The idea of some girl getting to touch what I can't? Yeah, not feeling that at all.
Hey, Coop.
She turns onto her side to look at me. Dear Lord, please don't let her have caught me staring at her ass. Shifts blanket and thinks about butt-naked grandmas posing suggestively on top of glaciers.
Mm-hmm.
She sits up.
Will you come over here? I want to talk to you about something.
I feel like she just dropped a seed of doom down my throat, and now it's growing and spreading poisonous vines that are wrapping around my internal organs. But of course, I go. What's up? I say, sitting beside her. Then, for good measure, everything okay? For a second, she just stares into my eyes, and I really feel like we're having a moment. Definitely a struggle not to look at her lips. I do clear my throat, though, because it's getting a little hard to breathe with her gazing at me like that. She shifts her focus across the room and takes a deep breath.
There's something I want to tell you, but you have to promise you won't get weird.
Damn. Okay, I won't get weird.
Promise?
Damn. Yeah, I promise.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Well, you've been an amazing friend to me, and I just wanted to tell you that
her gaze drops to her hands in her lap. Just say it already, woman. Another deep breath, and then her eyes are on mine again.
I really appreciate you, Coopy.
Huh? Ugh. She puts her head in her hands. You know vulnerability is not my strong suit. And yet another deep breath.
Okay, this is the thing, she says. You're the best friend I've ever had, and I really appreciate you for that, Coop. I try not to, like, impose when you have a girlfriend or whatever, but I want you to know that when you're gone, I miss you, and being with you is the safest, happiest place in the world for me.
I, Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV, am at a total, utter, complete loss for words.
Oh, God, I made it weird, didn't I? Did I make it weird?
Shit. She covers her face. I gulp and pull her hands down.
Thank you for telling me that, Jupes. It means a lot to me.
She smiles. Fireworks in the heart.
Cuddle?
she says. I lie back and put my legs up on the bed, and she nestles into her spot beneath my arm.
So what brought on the mushy gushies? I ask.
Well, I've been hanging out with Ray a lot.
You think? Sorry, couldn't help it.
She kicks my ankle. Shut up, she says. I like being around her. She's got this way of charging into relationships with eyes and arms wide, where I've usually got mine crossed and am wearing sunglasses. She just makes me want to feel more. Not be so guarded, I guess. She's also biracial, like me. Her mom is Irish, but her parents divorced when she was little, and her mom moved back to New Hampshire, where she's from, so it was just Ray and her dad and her older sister.
Older sister, huh?
Yeah, but then she left, too. Went to live with their mom.
Damn. For real?
Yep. So Ray's all about not taking people for granted, which is amazing to me. If I'd been through that kind of stuff, there's no way I'd be like her.
Jupe goes on.
You know how many friends that girl's made already? She's just so open to everyone. Lets people in without thinking twice, you know?
I don't know, because apparently I'm the exception. Though I can't complain about the effect she's having on Jupe. I haven't felt this connected to her in a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just feel like I need to acknowledge out loud that you mean everything to me, Coop. I'm really thankful for you, and I totally hate admitting this, but I wouldn't be half the person I am without you. You're my rock.
Note, this is not helping the game plan. I know she's saying all these things as a friend, but Jupiter Charity Sanchez just said, I'm her rock, yo! In lieu of a response, because I'm a little choked up, I kiss her forehead, and she squeezes me tighter. Time to change the subject. Speaking of Ray, I say, any idea why she's so weird around me?
I did notice that, Jupe says. But no, no clue. You know I don't get how the minds of straight girls work.
Oh-ho! So she's straight?
Seems to be. Had a boyfriend named Corey for a year. It's possible she's equal opportunity, but I haven't asked, so I'm not sure.
The relief is so immediate, and the sigh breathes so deep, I forget Jupiter's head on my chest and can feel it.
Ah, so you're relieved, she says. Does Courtney Cooper have a crush?
She looks up at me with her eyebrows dancing. I laugh. No, Jupiter. And then, spurred on by her honesty, I decide to tell the truth. Just glad I won't be losing my best friend to some girl anytime soon.
Oh, hush.
I kiss her nose, and she giggles and snuggles in deeper.
Will you stay here tonight?
I look up at the ceiling, shake my head, and smile. Of course I will, Jupes, I say. There's nowhere I'd rather be. 6. Except for the first time ever, the Jupe high doesn't last. Because as much as I want to just accept that Ray Chin is wide open to everyone in the world but me, I can't, especially after hearing she's probably straight. No idea why I care so much. I'm sure Jupe would say something about a fragile male ego like she did the first time I expressed astonishment over getting dumped. And I know I can't force Ray to talk to me if she doesn't want to. But I figure if I spend as much time around her as possible without crossing into creep territory, I'll eventually win her over. This is the thinking behind my decision to forego my usual post-football game ritual of knocking out homework while waiting in my room for Jupe to get home from do-gooding so we can watch movies for most of the night, and instead accompany my squad mates to a carnival that popped up in the empty parking lot of an abandoned Kmart. Still in uniform, a bunch of us pile into Shauna's Toyota Sequoia. By the way, it should definitely be illegal for a person as dramatic as her to drive a car this big. Ray sits shotgun, and I wind up in the third row, so there's zero chance of charming her into talking to me on the way over. Then, as soon as we're all out of the car, Ray grabs Golly and this other guy and jets.
Doesn't even look back.
Shauna heads off in a different direction with the girl who usually flies for Britain, and the three people who came in another car are already in line for the tilt-a-whirl. Which leaves me alone with Britt, clearly a sign that the whole night is a bust. All he wants to do is snarf corn dogs and gawk at all the fine-ass honeys we pass as we stroll around. He did get played by that new lady of his, by the way. Said he showed up at that party and found her all up under this lumberjack-looking asshole she introduced as her boyfriend. Within half an hour, I have a raging headache from all the lights and the funnel cake I forced down. Well, let's just say it doesn't do me any digestive favors. Missing Jupe like there's no tomorrow right now, and way ready to go home. But of course, I didn't drive. All of us are at the mercy of a girl currently leaning forward to give the slime ball running the shoot the duck game a peek down her top in an attempt to swindle a stuffed hippo out of him without actually playing. Come on, Britt says, glancing at his phone. We're supposed to meet everyone by the merry-go-round. Cool. Hopefully that means we're merry-go-rounding up to leave. When we get there, Ray is literally sitting on Golly's shoulders, laughing her head off. Even the guy with them seems to be having the time of his life.
Coop, you gonna ride the unicorn?
Golly says once he sees us. And then, well, I'm not really sure what happens. All I know is, the moment I look at the merry-go-round, like actually focus my eyes on it, it feels like the Hulk has wrapped one of his big green hands around my midsection and is squeezing. My heart is beating too fast, and I'm trying to inhale, but I can't get my lungs to expand. And just when I'm sure I'm about to die, all the neon lights start spinning like some nightmare carnival tornado. So I shut my eyes. 7. And by the time I open them, I've traveled to another dimension. Or so it seems. First, there's this piercing two-toned shriek that makes me feel like I'm being stabbed in the eyeballs from the inside. Then I notice a bunch of giant men all around me. Some are in variously colored tank tops and short sets, and others are wearing helmets, strange big-shouldered shirts, and unnecessarily tight pants that stop at the knee. All are frozen in motion. The two-toned shriek sounds again. I roll over under my stomach and groan. See a lamp. A clock. 11:42 a.m. And a framed photo of me and Joop standing at the edge of the ocean. I take another glance around. Giant men equal my posters. How the hell did I wind up in my bed? Another shriek. It's the doorbell. I pull a pillow over my head and try to go back to sleep. More ringing. Once, twice, three times. Doorbell ringer ain't giving up. By the time I stumble down the stairs, I'm pissed. Ringing, ringing. What the fu- I yank the front door open and stop. It's Ray.
I'm sorry.
She covers her face but peeks between her fingers.
Your mom told me to keep ringing until you answered.
There's a very awkward silence. She drops her hands and her eyes latch onto my forehead.
Wow,
she says, and she bites her lip. My head whips left so I can look into my entryway mirror. There's a purple knot the size of a golf ball above my right eyebrow. Holy shit. I reach up to touch it, and damn, that hurts.
It was a little worse last night, believe it or not,
Ray says. Last night? Huh? She takes a deep breath.
Can we talk? There's some stuff I need to tell you.
I'm so confused right now. Yeah. Come on in. She does, and I shut the door behind her. We'll talk in the living room, I guess? I say. I'm gonna grab some water. You want anything?
No, thanks. I'll just wait on the couch if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm not actually thirsty, by the way. Just need a minute to regroup or prepare or breathe or make sure this isn't a dream or something. Instead of drinking cold water, I go to the sink and splash some on my face.
Ray's sitting so stiffly when I come back into the room, I almost laugh. She's obviously just as nervous as I am.
So, I say, slouching down in the chair adjacent to the couch and clasping my hands over my midsection like I've got all the chill in the world.
You wanted to talk?
Yeah, I do. But I promised your mom and Jupiter I would make sure you're okay first and send them each a text.
No clue what to say to that.
Do you remember anything at all from last night?
She asks. My eyes drop.
Nah, not really. I figured as much. You hit your head pretty hard when you fell. I was shocked when your mom said you didn't have a concussion.
Wait. Sorry. And I shake my head, which hurts. Would you mind starting from the beginning?
What's the last thing you remember?
Coming to the merry-go-round. Just saying the word makes my stomach flip.
Ah, well, you passed out.
I what?
You and Britt stepped up to the carousel, and this funny look came over your face like you were flabbergasted. Then you just fell over forward. Your head hit the edge of the platform.
She can't be serious.
I called your mom, and she left the hospital to come get you. Checked your eyes and said you didn't have a concussion. Golly carried you to her car, and your mom took him home on the way back to the hospital this morning.
Wait, Golly slept here? And I had no idea about it? Ray grins.
Guy wouldn't leave your side, she says.
Wow.
So you're really okay?
I shrug. Seem to be. Though I am embarrassed now, and this headache is a motherfucker.
Good.
She pulls out her phone and starts tapping. You're texting my mom? For real?
Yep. And Jupiter, who left about 20 minutes ago for a volunteer thing she couldn't cancel.
Okay, then. Definitely in another dimension. Gotta be.
Her phone pings, and she nods and smiles. Jupiter says she's glad you didn't die, or she would have had to kill you.
I grin. And wince. 'Cause it hurts. Typical Jupe. Pings again. She smiles even bigger.
And your mom said to tell you there's cream of wheat on the stove, and you better study for the physics test she knows you have on Monday. And she loves you.
Not even responding to that. So, was there something else?
Oh.
Her whole face changes. Smile vanishes. Cheeks go pink. Eyes drop. Damn. Sorry, wasn't trying to be rude. It's just that, well, you've never really talked to me before, but now you're, like, texting my mama. Comes out a little saltier than I intended, but whatever. It's true.
And my head hurts. Ah, right. About that.
She takes a deep breath, then pulls something out of her back pocket and passes it to me.
I saw that in one of your mom's photo albums a couple of weeks ago and slipped it into my bag when Jupiter went to the bathroom, she says. I went to a Carl's Carnival just before my family began to crumble, so seeing that photo stirred up a lot of stuff I thought I dealt with a long time ago. I haven't been able to look you in the eye since I took it.
Her gaze falls to her hands.
And I honestly wasn't planning to give it back, but then, well, with what happened last night, I realized it might be a bigger deal than I initially assumed. Figured it was time to return it and tell you I'm sorry for absconding with it.
Absconding?
I'm so busy trying to process the facts that, one, Ray Chin is sitting on my sofa inside my house talking to me. Two, she's a dirty little thief. And three, her being weird had to do with the dirty thievery, not some problem with me. It takes a minute to process what she said. Pick up on Carl's Carnival and look at the picture. When I do,
My eyes open so wide, I'm surprised they don't pop out of my face and roll across the floor. It's a picture of Mama and me, and Carousel Carl, the guy from that science show I used to love, at Carl's carnival. My literal worst nightmare immortalized. I haven't looked at this picture in almost 12 years. It's a throwback to the worst day of my life. That terrible dream I mentioned having whenever Jupe's not around. There's a reason it starts with me on a merry-go-round and ends with a spinning car crash. The day my dad died, Mom and I were in Alabama. The Carousel Carl show did a live-action five-city tour, complete with a science fair-like carnival, and I begged Mama to take me to the Birmingham one, even though I knew Daddy wouldn't be able to go with us. And everything was cool at first. Pictures with Carl were taken just inside the entrance. Then we were cut loose to enjoy the carnival part. Rides, games, delectable delicacies like coolicles and deep-fried ho-hos, the whole deal. But when the time came for the actual show, things got weird. First, we were all herded into this big top tent where we took our seats. In the center of the floor was a massive grand carousel, brightly lit with a top that looked like a gilded crown or something. The theme song from the show filled the air, and the merry-go-round started flashing and spinning, and the horses began to rise and drop. And it was kind of eerie-looking with no one on the thing, but overall, fine. But then all the lights shut off, plunging us into a darkness that, to my 6-year-old mind, was worse than death and Brussels sprouts. A loudspeaker crackled just before we heard what sounded like a man sobbing. Then there was a mind-numbing screech of feedback, and everything went quiet. I, for real, thought the world was about to end. After what felt like a geologic era, the lights came back on, and a lady's voice came over the loudspeaker apologizing to everyone. "Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that Carousel Carl has fallen ill. The remainder of the show has been canceled." There was something about a full refund and proceeding to the exits in an orderly fashion, and next thing I knew, we were caught in the tide of folks shoving their way out to the parking lot. We drove the 2 hours to get home, and I went to bed with my head still spinning. Once in bed, I tossed and turned, worried out of my skull about Carl. Had that been him on the loudspeaker? What did fallen ill mean? Was he going to be on TV come Monday? I evidently dozed off at some point because Mama came and woke me up in the middle of the night. At first, I thought it was so dope because I'd never been up that late before. But when I came into the living room and saw the policeman, I knew something was wrong. That's when I noticed how strange she looked, like she'd seen a ghost or something. I kept my eyes on her the whole time the policemen were talking, caught the important words, tornado and wet roads and something they called a spin-out. By the time they left, I understood. My daddy was never coming home. It's like the carnival incident was some kind of premonition or bad omen or something. And I've never told anyone about it, not even Jupe. Hell, I spent the past 11 years pretending none of it ever happened, and outside of the nightmare, I've been successful at keeping it shoved way to the back of my mind. But now, thanks to Ray, cold-shouldering queen of thieves, I'm staring at a painful reminder of everything I wanted to forget. Shit sucks. Courtney? She's kneeling in front of me. When the heck did that happen? Huh? You're crying. I touch my cheek. My fingertips come away wet. Are you okay? She puts a hand on my knee, just like Jupe did when I first met her. It was the day we moved in, and I was sitting in this same living room in Dad's Lazy Boy, crying my damn eyes out, when a snaggletooth beige girl with frizzy hair strolled in carrying a fancy-covered cake plate. The moment she saw me, Jupe sat the cake down on the action figures box and rushed over to kneel in front of me. And she put a hand on my knee. So this is weird. Sorry about that. I wipe my face on my sleeve. If you, wouldn't mind
keeping this between us? I point to my wet face.
Yeah, of course.
Cue-loaded pause where this very confusing girl stares up at me from the floor like all my facial features have been rearranged. Then,
Courtney, can I ask you something?
Didn't give me much of a choice there, Ray. Her eyebrows shoot up. It was a joke. She cocks her head to the side and squints at me. Because that was a question.
Yeah, I got the joke. Just didn't take you for the type to use humor as a defense mechanism.
Whoa. Maybe liked it better when she wouldn't look at me. Now I feel like she's mind-reading all my secrets, Professor X style. I clear my throat. Ask away.
How old were you in that picture?
6. Why?
This wasn't taken at the Atlanta Carnival, was it?
No. I'd had a karate tournament and couldn't make the Atlanta one.
Which city?
I gulp. Not sure I like where this line of questioning is headed. Birmingham? Ray nods.
That's what I figured.
She's from Alabama.
And she said she went to one of the carnivals.
You were there too?
She nods again. Were you in the big top when the lights went out and Carl started weeping over the loudspeaker?
My turn to nod.
She sighs. That was his last public appearance, you know. They canceled his show right after.
Is this really happening, or did I hit my head harder than I realized?
I was devastated, she says. My love of Carl was akin to hero worship, and it wasn't just about the show. The day I turned 4, I got a call from him wishing me a happy birthday and saying his famous line, "Always remember, you could be anything.
It's science." I complete the quote, which shoves me the rest of the way into the damn Twilight Zone, another show Daddy used to love, by the way. On the first ever Carousel Carl episode, Carl went over the life cycle of stars and explained that all things on Earth, people included, are made of atoms that came from exploding stars. AKA, we kids could be anything. It became his farewell tagline. Looking back, it's pretty corny, but still makes me smile. Ray's smiling too.
Exactly, she says. So I told my parents I wanted to write Carl a letter to thank him for calling. Of course, now I know it was some automated thing they signed up for, but back then it was like the highlight of my young life. So I write this letter in my 4-year-old chicken scratch, and my parents were all about sending it, but only after they were sure I understood he probably wouldn't respond.
Gotta love those parents with their dream crushing, I say.
Except he did respond.
Wait, for real?
Yes. I couldn't decipher his loopy cursive, so my dad had to read it aloud to me, but he basically thanked me for thanking him and told me I had great parents and a bright future ahead. I begged my parents to take me to the carnival after that.
Wow. Is it weird that I'm a little jealous right now?
And I was so excited, Courtney. Took the letter with me and everything. They kept the photo line moving too fast for me to introduce myself, but just seeing him in person was a bigger miracle to me than the Immaculate Conception.
I chuckle at that one. She's cute as hell, this Ray.
But then those lights shut off and that moaning started.
I swear the temperature in my living room just took a nosedive.
I'd never felt terror that raw before.
I nod. Agreed.
Then right after Carl vanished, my parents split, and my mom took off.
Dang.
Yeah. I think I had an inkling stuff was off between them, but I guess I was too young to realize what that meant. All I knew was something bad happened at the carnival, and Carl was gone. Then my parents' fighting got worse, and my mom was gone.
She shakes her head.
Probably sounds dumb, but the end of Carl felt like the end of normal for me. Eventually, my sister left, too. It was like the catalyst for this foundation-shifting chain reaction?
She's staring at me again, though I got nothing in terms of a response. Those freaky green eyes, I swear.
Anyway, seeing your photo turned all that back up. And then when you passed out last night and it happened to be by the carousel, well, I kind of wondered if maybe you'd been at that Birmingham show and were negatively impacted too. You know?
I gulp, but don't speak. A pause heavier than Golly's bench press load stretches into next week. Then she shakes her head real fast.
What am I even saying? Of course you don't know.
She sighs.
And I just feely vomed all over you. Told myself I wasn't going to do that, and now here I am, Ray.
Am I really about to open the vault? To a girl I don't even know, outside of cheerleading practices and football games? Hell, a girl who, up until 15 minutes ago, wouldn't even look at me, let alone talk to me. Because she stole my Carl's carnival picture. She loved Carousel Carl, and was even at that carnival. And bad things happened in her life afterward, too. You're wrong, I say. Her brows tug down.
Huh?
I do know. And I tell her everything. 8. And then I, Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV, commence living a triple life. Maybe even quadruple. Life number one is Coop and Ray, or Cray-Cray, pun very much intended. After discovering our shared Carl's Carnival experience and subsequent traumas, Ray and I have the following discussion. Ray,
you know, I actually feel a lot better now, having talked to someone also deeply affected by Carl's demise.
Me, so do I. And it's true. I feel the way I do when I step out from under a squat bar with 300 pounds on it. Me and Ray. Awkward silence. Me. Clears throat. Ray. Me. Remember how yesterday you wouldn't even talk to me? Kind of a 180, huh? Ray.
We should launch an investigation.
Me. What? What? Ray.
Into Carl. We should, like, try and find out what happened to him, where he disappeared to.
Me. Why in the holy hell? Why would we do that? Ray.
I don't know. Maybe it's a sign, us meeting each other. You know, the show was filmed here in Atlanta, right? He had to have lived here at some point. Maybe we're supposed to solve this mystery together.
Me. To what end, though? Ray. Shrugs.
Maybe that's a bridge we won't be able to cross until we get to it. I just feel like we need to figure out what happened.
Me and Ray. Awkward silence. Ray.
Maybe he needs us to find him.
Me? Now she's really gone off the deep end. Huh? Ray?
Maybe he needs to know there are kids he impacted who still care about him.
Me? I really don't want to be a downer, but... What if he's dead?
Ray, he's not.
Me? How do you know?
Ray, Google.
Me? Well, wouldn't Google also know where he is and what he's doing if he were still alive?
Ray, not if he doesn't want it to.
Me, are we really discussing Google like it's a sentient being? Okay. Ray,
trust me, if he died, we would have heard about it. Carousel Carl was a major childhood icon for a lot of people. No matter where he's been or what he's been up to, his death would have made national news. Like, there was some guy named Mr. Rogers or something like that. He died when you and I were toddlers, and my dad still bemoans the loss.
Me? Bemoans? Fair enough. I guess.
Ray? Anyway, I think it's worth a shot. For his sake. It's not like we've got anything to lose, right?
Me? Besides our...